Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything. I've been thinking a lot about these words from Philippians 4:6. A couple of weeks ago, when I first looked at today's three readings, I knew immediately that I wanted to preach on the Philippians text because of these words from St. Paul. Do not be anxious. To talk about anxiousness seems like it might be appropriate these days. But to be honest, when I sat down to write out this sermon, I kind of drew a blank. I think it's because we're all so overwhelmed with anxiety, either our own or the anxiety in the world around us. I was having a hard time figuring out where to begin. I struggled through preparing this sermon, and I began to get anxious about it. What to say about anxiety? What to say about not being anxious? And to be sure, much of our lives is wrapped up in anxiety. Now, many of us do struggle with anxiety as a mental health issue, and that's not really the type of anxiety I'm talking about, even though God's word from Philippians does apply to anxiety as a mental disorder too. However, the type of anxiety I'm talking about is the kind of worry where we get overly apprehensive, overly anxious, overly concerned about things, where we get so worked up over something. We all get anxious about things. We all get worried. And how often does anxiety influence our thoughts, words, and actions? We can get worried about any of the areas of our lives, can't we? Family, work, health, church, politics, money. We can get worked up over any and all of these things. We worry about the big, important things, but we also get anxious over the little things. Nothing is too small to get worried about. We worry about how we look or about what other people think. We worry about not being as good as other people. We worry about being better than other people. We get anxious over impressing others. We worry about doing enough. We worry about being good enough. Our own fears and insecurities, failures, and weaknesses make us worried. We really can get anxious over anything and everything. We're flooded with anxiety, both around us and within us. But to all these words, St. Paul is telling us, do not be anxious. And when Paul tells us not to be anxious about anything, he really means it. We shouldn't be anxious about anything. But then, to top it all off, we've encountered the year 2020, a year that has produced or aggravated our anxieties, sickness, lockdown, and unemployment, social unrest, prejudice, and violence, social media, masks, and elections. Man, there's a lot of anxiety floating around us. There's a lot of anxiety within us. 2020 has been chock full of anxiety. When people encounter a crisis, it actually tends to reveal all the fractures that were already present. And I think 2020 has done that. It's revealed the many fractures that were already there. And so we're inundated with anxiety. How much longer is this virus going to last? Will racism and riots continue? Do we have to wear masks? Or why don't they wear masks? What'll happen if this candidate doesn't get elected? What will happen if this candidate does get elected? We're surrounded with anxiety. We're full of worry. Still, to all these things, Paul is telling us, do not be anxious. Don't be anxious about the pandemic. Don't be anxious about the social unrest. Don't be anxious about the elections. Don't be anxious about anything. Really? Don't be anxious? Paul's words here can really hit a raw nerve for many of us today. Everything is crazy right now. We're surrounded with anxiety. And 2020 has certainly been an anxious year. But you know what? So was 2019 and 2018. 2015 was a really, really anxious for me personally. Or how about 2008 with the Great Recession? Or 2001, especially in the month of September? 1968 was a worrisome year, full of assassinations, social and political unrest, riots, violence, and the Vietnam War. The 1940s were pretty bad, where millions upon millions of people were killed in World War II. And the threat of nuclear war loomed over everyone in the wake of the Cold War. There was also the Great Depression, the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, World War I, the Civil War, and on and on and on. The point I'm making is that we live in a fallen, sinful world full of anxiety. Full of anxiety-producing events and disasters. Every year, not just 2020, is full of worry and heartache and suffering. War and sickness and violence and unrest have all been constant in one form or another. The world is afflicted with anxiety. The church is not immune to its effects. So Paul's command to not be anxious really can strike a raw nerve for us, regardless of what year we're in. We're always surrounded with anxiety. But the same was also true for Paul, for he was also surrounded with anxiety. In the first century, being a Christian wasn't exactly easy. Being a Jewish Christian wasn't exactly easy. Being a Jewish Christian missionary wasn't exactly easy. And being a Jewish Christian missionary in the pagan Roman Empire wasn't exactly easy. Paul faced opposition to his ministry everywhere he went. Many of his own people rejected him and rejected Jesus. He was attacked, beaten, arrested, and imprisoned multiple times. The book of Acts lays out the persecution and riots and violence that Paul personally experienced. And even the Christian churches that he was connected with were full of worry and anxiety, fighting, and division. Paul certainly knew and experienced anxiety. In fact, when Paul penned these words, "Do not be anxious," he himself was either in jail or under house arrest. He was a prisoner writing these simple words, "Do not be anxious about anything." See, when Paul wrote these words to the Philippian Christians, I can't help but wonder if he was first telling himself these words. As he sat there in chains, suffering to some extent, I think he's preaching, "Do not be anxious," first to himself, reminding himself of who Christ really is and remembering who he is in Christ. And in preaching to himself, he's preaching to the Philippians, and he's preaching to us. Paul wants us to fix our eyes on Jesus. When we begin looking elsewhere, when we take our eyes off of Jesus, our lives get derailed. And taking our eyes off of Jesus ultimately only results in misery. Whether a person realizes it or not, it's a miserable way to live. And anxiety takes our eyes off of Jesus. And living in anxiety, constantly worrying about things, only results in misery. It's a miserable way to live. Anxiety, ultimately, is a first commandment issue. You shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Anxiety, ultimately, is placing our fear, love, and trust in something or someone other than God. Paul's urging us then to place our fear, love, and trust in God alone. Now, this doesn't mean our anxieties disappear or we'll never be tempted to worry. Paul was still in chains, remember? But being a Christian, being connected to Christ, changes how one approaches the anxieties of this life. Last week, Pastor Troy stated that for Paul, having Jesus' righteousness changed how Paul viewed his whole life. And this includes anxiety. The same is true for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he took not only our sin, but all of our weaknesses, failures, and worries into himself, giving us his own righteousness, giving us forgiveness, giving us peace with God. Paul knew that through Jesus, his relationship with the Father was restored. He had peace with God. And all who are baptized into Christ, all who have faith in Christ, have this same peace with the Father. Our Heavenly Father knows our lives are full of worry and anxiety. He knows things bother us and get to us. That's why He sent His Son. That's why He's given us peace with Himself through Jesus' death and resurrection. This peace means we have a restored relationship with the Father. And this relationship means we can talk to our Father. And this is what Paul urges us to do, especially when we are overwhelmed with worry and anxiety. Immediately after exhorting us to not be anxious about anything, Paul states, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul encourages us to lift up our worries to God in prayer. There's nothing too small for us to bring to God in prayer. So Paul encourages prayer, but not only prayer, but prayer with thanksgiving. For Paul, prayer to God with thankfulness is a way to combat anxiety. For even in the midst of our worries, we really do have much to be thankful for. God continually blesses us with all sorts of earthly blessings. He gives us so many things to take care of our needs, and He also gives us so many things to enjoy this life. We truly do have much to be thankful for. And many of our songs for today reflect a thankful attitude toward God. And Paul also encourages us to shift our minds from that which gives us anxiety to the things of God. He states, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." Instead of dwelling on all the things that worry us, Paul steers us toward thinking about God-pleasing things. That which is true and honorable, just and pure, lovely and commendable, excellent and worthy of praise. Anxious thoughts are not God-pleasing, but thoughts about Jesus and the things of God are. One theologian summed it up this way: "Our thoughts must be directed solely to the things that are well-pleasing to God. This is evidence of sanctification, to seek what pleases God and is of benefit to one's neighbor." 2020 has certainly been a rough year. There's no denying that. But in the midst of this year, in the midst of every year prior, and in the midst of every year following, until he returns, Jesus, through his apostle Paul, has spoken these words to his church. Do not be anxious about anything. The Lord is at hand. Through every passing year, through every anxiety-filled year, Jesus remains Lord. He continues to lead his church through this crazy, anxiety-ridden world. He encourages us to bring our worries to him in prayer. He commends us to have hearts of gratitude, and he exhorts us to think of that which is God-pleasing. Indeed, do not be anxious. In closing, then, hear these words from your Lord. In the midst of all of our worries and anxieties, hear these words from Jesus. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our generous Lord. Amen.